Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
How's it going?
I
am doing excellent. I am at iPad Palooza today and tomorrow, so I'm having a lot of fun geeking out, you know, educationally speaking.
Hi, Jose.
That's Scotty.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
I'm living the dream, man. Living the.
Did somebody ask you to be a part of the Twitter chat and host this or moderate this chat, or was this something you're like, hey, I haven't seen this on the Twitters, and we need to discuss this?
Yeah, it's something I wanted to do. Like, I was, you know, because my buddy Scott, you know, he's always talking about OKLED. So I was like, you know what, I want to try this out. Because I've been in some of them. And I was like, you know what, personal finances have been talked about. And I think Oklahoma has some pretty good resources for teachers. So why not take a shot at it and host one on personal finance?
Well, it was an excellent chat. You know, your questions were very thoughtful, and I don't think you were exclusive of anybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So what was your favorite question of the night?
Oh, gosh, there's too many of them. But the one that I really liked was, you know, should financial literacy replace a core subject?
And so what are your thoughts on that?
What is my take?
Yeah.
I think it should. Reason being is because, I mean, there's no way around it in today's society. I mean, you're going to have to take care of your own your own personal finance. And one of the number one reasons why students drop out of college, not so much academically, it's the financial pressures. They're just, you know, they're bogged with credit card debt, student loan debt, car loans, maybe some of them mortgages. And it's just like, it's just the financial pressures is just so much for them that they can't deal with school anymore, and they drop out. So, you know, we have to look at it. And again, you know, K-12, depending on where you look at it, is still kind of that factory model where, like, you know what, the 21st century, you know, we don't have pensions anymore. Pensions are gone for most jobs. So it's like,
correct.
You know, people have to be responsible for their own finances. So we have to, you know, get these students financially literate because some of them won't even go to college. So where are they going to get that information from? So it has to be in K-12, and I would be up for it replacing one of the core subjects.
Were your parents super involved in personal finance with you? I mean, where did you find your passion here? Because from what I hear, you've got some passion that drives this conversation.
My parents are not college graduates, nor even high school graduates, but my dad always talked about, like when I was a kid growing up, he always talked about invest in your future, invest, you know, it's like, you know, I was that like 14-year-old kid who was like, well, when I turn 16, I'm going to get a nice car, rims, and a sound system. My dad's like, that's garbage. That's not an investment.
Right.
So kind of my parents talking about investing, and then, and just working in banking, I think that really even brought that passion here not more, because I saw a lot of people make not so great choices with their finances.
Well, I wish this was a requirement whenever I was going through high school. I do not remember being in a personal finance class or talking about finances at all. If I was, then it was still the blow-off class that many people consider it today, right?
Yeah.
So, I made a ton of bad choices, and I really liked your question about whether it should be taught at home or in the school. I don't feel like my parents were qualified candidates to be able to teach me this. What were your thoughts on this? Do you think it should be in the school or at home?
Well, I think both. I mean, to teach personal, I mean, you don't have to, you know, be an expert on, you know, what's an RA or a Roth IRA or what's a 401. You don't need to know the financial terms as an expert. I mean, you can look those up online easily. But kind of more the financial habits and attitudes and socialization towards finances, I think parents can definitely teach that. you know, say that, you know, money is a tool. It shouldn't be used for access or for, you know, you shouldn't go splurge on something you can't afford. Parents and family can instill those habits to them at a young age. And that's how they can teach them personal finance. I mean, you can let the school or the internet, you know, teach them about, again, like 401k and you know, the math and all that. But, you know, parents can definitely help out with the attitude and behaviors of how to deal with money.
Okay. So during the chat, there was a side tweet that went up. It wasn't to answer any of your questions, but Aaron Baker had said something about, I worry about teaching it in schools because of how some teachers may put their cultural biases on this. How do you feel like personal finance could be taught to where we weren't pushing middle class or American dream, or is there an American dream? I guess there's like five questions wrapped up in this one. What do you think about the cultural biases of personal finance, or does money have a bias?
Well, money definitely has a bias. I mean, I think that's one of the problems with teaching personal finance is like, and that's the problem. Research has shown kind of a one size fits all type model. You know, what works for me is definitely going to work for you. And I think that is a problem with the culture biases. And I know, you know, it's like a teacher's like, oh, I use Dave Ramsey model, so it definitely is going to work for you. You know, it's going to work for everybody. Or, you know, and have their culture. So I think that is a problem with personal finance. And, of course, no one is really holding them responsible for that. So that's kind of the other problem. If there was much more accountability, I think that would kind of stop. Because from my understanding, I think the core subjects, you know, they, you know, someone's holding you accountable for it, whether it's the head of the department or somebody else, or, you know, someone's holding you accountable. But in personal finance, there's really no person holding you accountable, with the exception if you start talking about, I'm selling you a 401k plan when you're not licensed to do that. That's all a different story. But
right.
Really, there's no accountability, and that's the problem. Someone needs to hold people accountable for that kind of stuff.
I totally agree with you. So, did you come out of college with a ton of debt?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was mostly my mistakes, and, you know, it was just certain things that I didn't understand, and had I gone back, I probably wouldn't have made those mistakes, and I would have learned, so I was making the joke. It's like, I need to write a New York Times bestseller book.
Why don't you?
But, you know, I think right now with student loans and anything, there are ways out. I mean, people freak out and go, you know, there are, you know, income-based repayment plans. You know, if you go work for a nonprofit for the government, as we speak right now, you know, you get the after 10 years or so of consistent payments, you can, you know, get it, you know, paid off. And of course, paying you know, depending on your student loan, it's a tax benefit. So, you know, there's ways out of it. But yeah, I did leave college with a massive amount of student debt.
Have you looked at what the State Department put together for personal finance to be taught, what the standards are and such?
For Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah, I've looked at them, and I've actually worked with the Oklahoma Council on Economic Education, and of course the Fed Reserve office there in Oklahoma City. I actually served on the Economic Education Advisory Council, so I'm pretty familiar with them, and I've looked at them, and I didn't work on creating them, but I did, you know, I've looked at them.
Okay. And what do you think? Solid, or there's still room to grow?
They're great, and I think the one that's very, that makes the Oklahoma standards very unique compared to other standards across the country is that they have the gambling one standard.
Okay.
And I think that's very important, especially in the state of Oklahoma that has a gambling addiction problem.
Yes.
So I think the standards are great. It's just that, of course, you have to continue pushing for, you know, teachers to actually teach from the standards and actually know them, whoever is teaching personal finance.
All right. Well, are there any last words that you'd like to throw into this podcast? Maybe something that came up after the chat or during the chat that you wish you had had a platform, you know, to get out?
I just think that I think when I started talking more about some people's personal finances, like their own and not so much education, I think it got a little bit derailed. Like people started talking about their own stuff. Like, well, you know, you got to be a little careful because we start throwing, oh, I know a best 401k plan. That's when we start getting in, you know, the ethics and all that. But I just final things, it's just that I think personal finances is something that should be taught to every kid starting at kindergarten. Instead of maybe coding, I don't know, because not everyone's going to be a coder. And I just think that also, you know, just know that personal finance is not a one-size-fits-all. You have Amen. To take in some personal learning into it, too. So that's all I say. Oh, and don't forget to check out the Oklahoma Conflict Economic Education, of course, also the Oklahoma Jumpstart Coalition as resources for teachers.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back to Okla Said, the official Okla Ed podcast.
Indeed.
So I am here, Aaron Barnes and Scott Hazelwood, the lovely, lovely co-host.
The most loveliest.
And we are at iPadPalooza recording today, so there may be some background noise here and there.
But this isn't the special iPadPalooza session we were talking about.
No, it's not. That will be tomorrow.
That's right.
Which will matter nothing to you in podcast world.
If you listen on Sunday.
You're right. Okay, so it could mean something to you. We had some technical difficulties. We're here re-recording the personal financial literacy episode.
That's right.
All right.
With my good buddy,
Mr. J. Real Talk.
Yeah, my friend Jose, who is a doctoral student at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and you just heard him on the phone call. This guy's got some knowledge bombs, and I was so happy to see that he did this chat, because I don't know that we've ever talked about personal financial literacy.
I don't believe we have. We've talked about a lot of things.
And
but
so
you know what,
great.
Aaron? This feels weird because you're not on my computer screen. I'm not talking to you on my computer screen.
No, and I do
like,
now
I'm poking
care
you in the arm right now.
That I just ate lunch and it was garlic bread. So I'm going to try not to look at you still.
It's okay. I'm smelling my own garlic, so it's all good.
All right. Well, do you want to get into the questions?
Yes, let's do. Question one.
Question one is, how do you define financial literacy? How do you define financial literacy?
Being able to understand how money works. Like, I spend less than I earn, and I can save my money for when I retire.
Yeah.
So that when I retire, I don't have to work until I'm 80. I can enjoy grandkids and things like that.
Yeah. So I think about, in terms of actual literacy, you know, when we talk about reading, a literate person can read and comprehend, read and understand from that information that they just got. I would hope that when we're talking about financial literacy, you not only make and spend money, but you get how it works and you're able to live. You know, I mean, like
use under, that information. Right, right.
Yeah.
Like get it out of the textbook and into real life sort of situation.
For sure.
Yeah. Like memorizing your math facts, but out of context of, hey, I'm building a house and now I need to multiply some different things together.
Right. Yeah. Just 3 times 7 on its own is
no big deal.
What a checkbook might look like.
Right.
But knowing how to use the checkbook is knowing that you've got 3 flaps of
something.
7 trusses coming in. How many trusses are
we got? We're playing football, as it were, since we're on OU's campus and there's the football stadium over there.
Right.
3 touchdowns are 21 points.
Yes. I really liked what Tom Linehan had to say here, and he is at Clydesdale 2009. He said, having skills to be competent manager of one's resources in order to make good decisions. And I liked his hashtag. Aside from the Okla Ed, he said, hashtag retired has been. Well, that retired has been had a great answer to this question.
That's good stuff. I thought Deborah Thornton's tweet was really good. She is at DJ Thorson. She said, Mr. J Real Talk, I define it as teaching what students need to know to be financially secure. I think schools define it as teaching about economics, which I think there's some truth there, but there's a difference between personal finance and economics.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
I would think economics is worldwide versus personal. That's knowing how to manage yourself and your finances and maybe a family or, you know, your belongings.
Right, right. But not as in my economy is bad.
How is China's stock market doing today?
How's the Barnes stock market
In the red.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Question two, who taught you financial literacy education? Who taught you?
My husband.
Wow.
I know. I was an old sucker whenever it came to learning how to manage my money. I was in the red until I met this guy.
Oh, thank goodness for this guy.
Yeah. And I picked his tweet because of that. He said his papa Andy, which was his grandpa.
Right.
He was a millionaire who said about him buying a truck, "I don't want to tie up that much money. Been driving a cheap truck ever since." If a millionaire says, "I don't want to tie up that much money," kind of makes you think about your own finances.
Lends a little weight.
It
lends
does.
Lends a little weight.
Are you a millionaire?
Not yet.
Okay, so, yeah.
I'm trying.
Good for you.
Oh,
there's a snort. That was really funny.
So Rick Cobb, who is at Grindle Rick, he said, A2 Okla Ed, the mean streets of suburbia. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was
the
mean pretty funny.
Of suburbia.
Yeah. Question three. How familiar are you with the Oklahoma Personal Financial Literacy Standards?
I know there are some. But I only know that because I've gone to school with Jose for the past couple years, and literacy is his passion.
Right.
So we've talked about it.
I've had to teach the class where most of the classes rely on a digital curriculum. Sometimes for a lesson or a unit, the kid says, "I don't get it." So I've had to, you know, come up with some stuff to meet those standards. So I've glazed over them here and there. But even Jose just said something about the gambling standard. And I thought, oh, you know what? That's new to me. I'm going to have to go look that up.
Yeah, because we have a lot of those around now.
Yeah, we do.
You know, if you have one of those sort of addictive personality traits, that could be something that could hook you in.
Yeah. So I went with Kyle Hildebrand on this one. He says, "I'm not an expert on those standards. However, I do know where they're located and how to find them. That's half the battle."
Half indeed, if you know where to go.
If you know where to go.
Kevin Heim, who is at Coach 57, he said, "Never taught the course, but have looked at standards. Unless they've changed four times last 5 years, like other Okla Ed standards," which
there's probably a strong possibility
on that one. Although I think we have settled in with our English and our math.
Yeah,
I mean,
and the science has been
out
around for a while,
right,
too.
Right, but man, there for a while we were trading things left, right, and center.
Well, and saying we were going to adopt and then changing our mind afterwards. So you know.
6 weeks before school started.
Right.
But who's counting?
Right. Whatever.
Or better.
Teachers roll with punches.
That's right. Question four. Do you believe it is the responsibility of schools or parents to teach financial literacy?
Ooh, yeah.
It's a pretty tough one here because I think, like, my parents taught me a little bit about financial literacy, but it wasn't like, it's hard to understand when you're a high school kid.
Yeah.
As opposed to real life smacking you in the face.
Married with or without children,
right.
You know, yeah.
Right. Going
even
to
having a dog and
right.
Knowing what it's like to take care of a dog.
Yeah, just different things like that. So, and then, like you just said, you didn't have very much financial understanding until you got married.
Indeed.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I want a parent from a situation like yours. I'm not trying to say anything negative. Just your mom didn't teach you about it very well.
Right.
So, who does in that case?
Right. Well, and part of me says, well, gosh, Papa Andy type people are probably way more qualified to teach it than I am,
right.
You know, because they've managed and done successful doing it. So that's a hard one. It's a hard one.
I know
one
who
for
shouldn't
sure.
teach it.
Who? Me?
Our legislative body.
Oh,
not that they're all
word.
Bad, but my goodness. Shortfall. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So I went with John Bennett on this one, and our friend said, best answer, schools for sure. Parents and family, as long as they're knowledgeable.
All caps.
He has some passion behind it. As long as they're knowledgeable.
He almost shouted that.
It does come off the page as a shout.
Mm-hmm, it does. I went with Christina Steiner. I actually chose her a couple times. Actually, to be honest, I could have gone with old Prof. A. Steiner several times during the twist. She was on point, but I thought, man, I can't just have a... I guess we could have had a Prof. A. Steiner Twitter chat.
Maybe we should...
Maybe one day.
Hook up with her soon on... Maybe she should moderate a
maybe
chat.
Maybe she should. So I went with her a couple times here, and this was the first one. She says, I think that both should have the responsibility. The more information our students have, the better their decisions will be. Boom.
Indeed. Well, and this one goes into, and I don't know where Aaron Baker put this tweet within the respect of the questions, but he asked, you know, what are some of the cultural biases that teachers are bringing to personal finance?
Right.
You know, and cultural aside, I'm just thinking socioeconomics. I was a poor kid. Mm-hmm. We had food stamps, and that was like free money. You know, when food stamp time came, you went to the grocery store
right.
and you cashed in with that free money. And it would be hard to listen to a typical, you know, middle class person tell me about saving and all of these things when, you know, we couldn't make the food stamp stretch. We couldn't make our money stretch.
Right.
You know, it would be
like
hard to...
immediate needs, like
yeah.
things that you need to live.
Indeed. So it'd be hard to listen to somebody telling me about 401ks and saving money when that has never entered my thought process
right.
before.
And that was one of the things that I think that I tweeted also later is at some point you have to figure out how to get that first $500 saved, how to get that first $1,000 saved. So when there is a situation that comes up
yeah.
and money is difficult, very difficult, then it's not as big of an emergency.
So one of the things I learned through, again, my husband is that everything needs to be an asset, not a liability. Jose's conversation, he talks about that kid who wants to go buy a new car, get rims and a stereo put in it. The stereo and rims have nothing to do with what the car's value is. And so I'm thinking...
But you'll look really good.
Well, but thinking about resale, I would want to up the price of that because I put on new rims in a stereo, but it doesn't up the value. And so you've just spent all this money on looking cool and not being financially
stable. I guess it would just depend on...
Stable.
You're really narrowing down your market depending on how you've... outfitted it.
Indeed, yeah. But thinking of things as liquid assets, you know, we joke all the time about the number of vehicles that have come through our house. You know, we're constantly buying and selling things, motorcycles, you know, just everything can be liquidated if it needs to be.
You sold a motorcycle the other day, if memory serves correct.
Probably.
Or somebody came out to look. I don't know, there was a dog barking.
Oh, yeah. We did sell a motorcycle the other day. I mean, probably. Serious. Anyway.
So, back to Twitter.
Back to Twitter and the questions.
Number five? Question number five. It's your turn.
Should financial literacy education replace a core subject? If so, which one?
And we just heard Jose say.
Yeah, it should.
He feels like it should.
He didn't say which one,
though. No, he did not.
So it would be, and I should have followed up there. But he definitely thinks it is important enough that it should be a core. I also, you know, we heard him say that it should be started in kindergarten and moved through, you know, all the grade levels. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, I do think that it's looked at as a blow-off class sometimes. It's one of those required electives. So
right.
until we get the word elective, which doesn't sound... I mean, if it's a required elective, let's just call it a core.
Yeah, right.
But then let's not make it a blow-off class.
Right, and I know that in some places that I've been, there's been a class, not necessarily personal finance, but financial literacy or something like that, or math for finance or something along those lines. And it seems to collect those kids who you would typically refer to as the troublemakers.
Sure.
Or the kids who are the open mouth breathers and they just need a math credit. So we're going to kind of, you know, there's always a class what is quote unquote the bad kids. And it seems like that's where some of these classes were just stashing those kids and then giving them a teacher that's not very passionate for.
Sure.
And I think all that makes a bad witch's brew.
Well, of course it does.
Instead of creating a class that's more vibrant and...
And especially with a topic that we should all know.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
man alive. I'll just stop there.
So, Jason Bings.
Yeah, Jason Bings. He said, this subject could have the greatest impact on our students' future and breaking the cycle. It absolutely needs to be a core.
Right.
Kind
indeed.
Of agree there.
Yeah. I'm with Krista Steiner at Prof. A. Steiner. She said, I think it's important enough subject that each course should implement parts of it via cross-curricular lessons.
Amen.
Yeah.
I totally think that's possible too.
I think one of the drawbacks that we historically have had is that you have a business person or a social studies person teaching something that's fairly mathematically based.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say those people aren't qualified to do that. It's just a little bit different. So if I have a math wizard or a business wizard person, yes, personal finance, bring it. But sometimes our social studies people are social studies people, not math people.
Correct.
And this kind of her answer allows all of that to come full effect, because there's ways that social studies can talk about it that I'm not, as a math person, I'm not able to.
Right. Or, I mean, historically speaking, the social impact of the Great Depression, the ramifications of World War II coming through and the boost of the economy and stuff. I mean, I get where it could be a social studies, but I totally get where it could be math also.
Right.
Yeah.
Indeed. Question 6, what grade level should students start financial literacy education? Man, this was all over the gamut during...
It kind of was, yeah.
Hey, are they still in utero? Start teaching them. No, wait till they're seniors.
And so my daughter Tatum has had a job for, probably close to a year. She helps her grandmother at this little art studio and craft studio. And, she is made to work and she gets paid but she's expected to put out, good effort on all of this stuff. You have something similar,
Our kids don't get allowance. They get commission. So we have chores that we ask them to do. And if they don't do them, like if mom or dad does the chores, the kids don't get any money.
Sure.
If the kids do the chores and it's just kind of halfway done, like I sort of dusted-ish, then they don't get the full amount. They all know exactly how much they can get from doing their chores. Like, my son can get $5 from mowing the front and back lawn. If he doesn't mow the front and back lawn very well, he doesn't get the whole $5. He gets maybe $2 or $3.
I bet that's chapped his hide a little bit.
There's been a time or two he's gone in and got a little grumpy.
Yeah.
But we don't give them, and that's the whole thing, we don't give them an allowance just for being a Hazelwood. They get a commission doing a job.
Yeah, well, and then they learn work ethic.
Right,
you know?
Hopefully.
Yeah. I went with Mary Lou Barron on this one, and she is at Maestra Barron. She says, seems like not very many adults count change back either. Working my second job, I've been complimented for counting back. We went north for the eclipse.
Okay.
Right? We were in St. Joe, Missouri, and there was this store, Scott, that could not accept cash the other day because their computers were down. And we floored. They could take credit cards.
They could take credit card.
But could not
take
your
cash. With their computers down,
cash.
They could take credit card.
Yeah. And the drawer opened. I watched the drawer open while computers were down. So I know they had access to the drawer, but couldn't take cash because the computers were down.
So
counting back change is kind of a big deal.
You gave me a 20 and you want how much back? gee whiz, I don't even know.
Yeah, you can just tell me your answer.
So Mrs. Waters, who is at Waters English, said, I think even elementary students can start some basic financial literacy. We should find relevant ways to bring this to students in early high school.
Yes.
And I think also, too, in early high school, it should just be this thread kind of running through everything.
Yeah.
I think it's knowledge is power here. And I feel like it's not hard to find in the news how we're a nation in debt on an individual level. So we've messed up somewhere.
Somewhere,
and
yeah.
We got to overcome that, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, question 7. Scott, would you trade your current teaching subject to teach financial literacy?
You know, on this I said yes, but I would trade one section.
One section.
I would give one section up to teach financial literacy for one section.
I really liked what, I like the answer you chose, but I really liked what Jennifer Setzinger said. She said, why does it have to be a change of subjects? Why can't it be integrated? Yeah. We need more integration.
Yeah. And that's been a couple of the tweets that we've picked.
Yeah.
The theme running through. Mm-hmm. I liked Phoenix Rising, which has got whys where you think the E's should be, Phoenix Rising. Phoenix Rising said, no, but I'd do both.
I'd do both.
I think, and I had a unit in my pre-calc class. It was a financial, it was like a chapter and a half.
Okay.
And we had so much fun with that. Like real life stuff where I could, and I told the kids, and I would even show the kids, I'd mark out my account and I'd say, this is how much I have in my Roth IRA. I started saving X dollars a month when I was 35 or whatever it was. I go, if you start right now saving the same amount that I'm saving, you can stop when you're my age and you will have more money than I will have if I keep saving every month.
Wow.
From the time I'm 35. And we both retire at age 65 or 70 or whatever.
Wow.
And it wasn't even close.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful yeah. information.
Yeah. I mean, just that whole compounding simple
interest that thing. May sink into the skull of a teenager.
Yeah, it might. And they're like, no, I can do this. I go, yeah, you can do this. Talk with your parents about a Roth IRA.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Question 8, what financial advice do you wish you knew growing up?
How long does this podcast last?
No, we don't have that much time.
Okay.
Ann Beck says it's too long as it is at like 45 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Feedback from
Annie. If you have feedback, leave us a comment, like us, and then leave us a comment.
Yeah.
Well, then I won't tell you what I wish I knew.
There's no time. Let me sum up.
Princess
Bride.
Yeah. Deborah Thornton said, I wish somebody in my family knew about student loans before I went to college. Ouch. I still owe a bunch.
That one came up a lot.
Yeah. Student loans was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and even Jose said, yeah, he got into some financial loan, you know, trouble as well. So.
Right. I mean, it's easy to do.
It's a plague.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like candy.
Yeah.
Here, Aaron, come try my candy. It's really good.
Here's a free
good.
OSU t-shirt.
Yeah.
Here's a free OU t-shirt. Why don't you just fill out this form to get it?
Yes, pay for your school.
Okay, my first credit card.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
It was a 13% interest rate.
Ouch.
$250 credit limit.
Wow.
Do you know how fast $250 goes?
When you first got it, I bet you could get a couple tanks of gas, though.
Well, yeah, I think gas is like, I don't know, $1.50 a gallon.
Tops.
Maybe, yeah. But that does not take you very far.
No, no.
And then it's all in the name of credit after that.
Oh, boy. I think I wish somebody had walked me through the Financial Peace University stuff when I was a late teenager.
Okay.
16, 17, 18. I think that would have helped a lot for me going forward. And my wife and I have talked about getting our oldest son started.
Yeah.
We feel he's still just a little bit too young. He's 13, but that will definitely be something we do with him in the next 2 or 3 years.
I'm going to offer you some advice. Maybe too young to fully grasp it, but Tatum at this age is a fifth grader. She's 10 years old, and she has several different accounts. If she gets 10 bucks, we, you know, make her give a dollar for her tithe. We
right.
make her, you know, put some into her savings, and then she gets a spending account as well. So, you know, at this age, she's already used to, and she just knows, all right, 10%
right.
goes here, this, 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 this. So, you know, maybe it's a little early to fully grasp why, but if you get them in the habit, it
right.
just comes out.
When you get the money.
Yeah.
yeah. This place goes here, here, here. Yeah. I loved what Jessica Cox had to say on this one. She is at Jessica Cox NES. That's like the NES.
NES.
The
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes, Woo! I had one.
I did
Man,
too.
I spent a lot of time playing Tecmo Bowl. That was my
Tecmo Bowl.
And Super Mario Brothers.
So that one's the old school
yeah.
NES.
Yeah.
I was kind of a Mario and Duck Hunt.
Oh, I never really had the gun. We didn't have the gun for Duck Hunt.
Okay. You want to tell me what she said?
So I'll tell you. So Jessica said budgeting.
Too long of a podcast, Scott. We cannot get into our games of
budgeting. I can balance a checkbook, but it doesn't mean I can budget very well. Boom.
Mm.
Because that's true.
So true.
Like,
yeah.
You can balance your checkbook and have
a
budget.
I know how to add and subtract.
Yeah, that is just bonkers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, question 9. What financial debt do you wish you could erase right now?
You know what came up a bunch on this one? Student loans.
Yeah. Student loans. Well, and Wes Meyer said, you know, in
Math Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
Math Meyer Wes.
Meyer Math Wes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, he said, important to really convey the importance of scholarships. Many don't understand how helpful a small, and that's in quotes, small scholarship can be. I think that's probably in line with
yeah.
the student loan.
Or
know.
Work study situation. So like
yeah.
even for me going back, when I went back to school, I was able to have like a work study thing, which helped lighten my, now we had to balance our budget and do our checkbook correctly.
Right.
But we were also able to utilize a work study situation through OSU, which helped lower some of the costs of going to school.
Yeah, that would be very handy.
Yeah. So Rob Miller, who is at EdgeBlogger, he said, I have begun to focus on building our nest egg less than 10 years to retirement.
That's so crazy.
I have a long bucket list.
Rob has more than 10 years worth of excitement to still bring to education. I hope you're around longer than 10 years, Rob.
Indeed,
just saying.
Indeed, indeed. So how can financial literacy organizations be of help to your school? And believe it or not, they're all over the place. I had no idea how many organizations are willing to help schools. I really had no idea until talking with Jose. And he's like, oh, no.
Well, and he rattled off a few there at the end, too. So.
Right. And he even... I can't remember the Federal Reserve or somebody has programs for schools. Like, I never thought to go to the Federal. He's like, oh, yeah, Scott, go to the Federal Reserve or whoever.
Sure, let me just.
Yeah, he's like, no, these guys are great. So, yeah.
I was a listener on this question for sure because I had no clue.
Yeah.
I went with a Hildebrand tweet
Kyle
again.
Hildebrand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, to give our students a chance in life, especially the ones who don't have great role models.
Right.
Yeah, that could help.
Yeah. It helps a lot. Stephanie Heim, who is at Mrs. Heim, she said to prepare as for the real world.
Mm.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a really great chat.
This
what was your
important.
Favorite question?
My favorite question was your favorite question, but since I answered, I filled out show notes first.
You can go ahead.
But you, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, okay. Okay,
you go.
Okay,
you go.
So what financial advice do you wish you knew growing up? And I think we... As adults, we all look back and we go, oh my God, I was so stupid.
Hindsight, man.
Yeah.
That too was my favorite question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Boom Sauce tweets of the night.
Yeah, now you grabbed the Boom Sauce. I think you texted me too.
I did. I was like, that's mine. I got it.
I didn't even know what you were talking about. Like,
yeah.
And Erin texted me and she's like, I'm grabbing John's. I didn't even see it.
What do you mean? Well, I went with a funny one, but yours is a boom too. So mine was referring to which debt you wish you could erase now.
Right.
And John Bennett said, my Dairy Queen bill. Amen, brother.
And if you just hop over to John's Twitter timeline and just scroll through. There's references to Dairy Queen all through there. Yeah.
They make a mean concrete. Blizzard.
It's a blizzard. Yeah, it's a blizzard over there. Yeah. Mine was a two-parter, and the first part was from Joy Hoffmeister, who is at Joy, the number 4, okay. And she said, our state student advisory says they want financial literacy class in senior year when it's more relevant.
Indeed.
And Stephanie Bice, who is at Stephanie Bice, said she 100% agrees with that.
Who is and Stephanie Bice?
Stephanie Bice is a state senator.
Yes, she is.
So she was participating in Okla Ed, and we are grateful for any of our legislators who want to participate, even those who we're grumpy with, because establishing some sort of dialogue is so important.
Yes.
And just being able, and there's been some representatives in the past who I have strongly disagreed with, but I can appreciate their willingness to share and engage on Twitter, even if I believe differently than them.
I think somebody tried to tweet back to Joy, hey, what about but she will engage in conversations on Twitter even if you don't agree with her.
Right.
She'll try to find some common ground.
Right.
So you can start there
or share why she believes such
a thing. Indeed.
Yeah. And you can get angry on the inside.
Yeah.
So sometimes with some of our people who I strongly disagree. I give 3 tweets. I have a 3-tweet rule. Like, after 3 tweets, and I remember you got caught in a conversation me one night, and you're like, damn it, drop me out.
I'm done here.
I'm done.
Well, next week we have Kim Blodgett.
Yeah. So she's a pretty passionate Okla Ed.
She is all over the Okla Eds.
Pretty passionate.
Yeah.
And has the biggest heart for the kiddos.
So, such a big heart that she became an empty nester this year for
right.
all of 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 6 weeks or something like that.
She's now got 2 foster kiddos in that house. How
young,
amazing
young babies.
Is that? Yeah. I mean, went from college kids now to babies again.
Yeah, that's cheating empty nest.
Well, maybe she wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, maybe so. But that's awesome that she's doing it.
I know. I'm so excited.
Kudos to her.
Her chat is going to be the story behind the behaviors. So I'm interested to see what that's about.
Yeah, I bet that has something to do with kids acting out, maybe?
Maybe so.
Or not acting out, or quiet, or whatever.
I don't know. We will see, sir. Mm.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Monday.
A total eclipse of the heart.
Dadgummit. I always forget about that one.
I'm ready.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.